we'll go ahead and at least get a start in this 10th lesson of unbiblical misunderstandings. We're comparing 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3 with Acts 17. And let's just start reading Acts 17:12. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Why did they believe? Those Berean Jews and Greeks had searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And then it says, many of them, therefore, because they searched the scriptures, many of them believed. Well, that was Paul preaching about the gospel of God. It says that they believed. So what they must have found it in the scriptures, those things that were so. When Paul preached to them, they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. If they believed, if they came to believe it from the scriptures, it must have been in the scriptures. What does it say that they believed? Did they believe the mystery gospel of Christ crucified for their sins? If they searched the scriptures to find it and then believed it, then what they were searching for was what Paul had already preached, the scriptural facts about the name of Jesus, who Jesus is, the gospel of God, not the mystery parts that had been revealed to him by then. They searched, found, and believed that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah. So when it says in Acts 17, verse 12, that many of them believed, they were not added to the body of Christ, or they were not added to Israel either. They were just believing who Jesus is, the gospel of God. Jesus, they believed he was the Messiah and resurrected from the dead and the Son of God. And that alone does not save anyone. That's the believing in the name of Jesus that Israel was required to do and failed to do. So let's look at the next verse, verse 13, Acts 17, verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. The Jews of Thessalonica. Wow. There they are again. Troublemakers, aren't they? Or at least they're trying to make trouble. Forcing Paul to need to be delivered, according to Acts 26, 16-17, and 2 Timothy 4, 17-18. Look at these verses. This is what had happened. It tells what... In Acts 26, Paul reports what he was, who he was sent to, the ones that he would have to be delivered from. And then in 2 Timothy, he looks back at the same things, the same events that he had to be delivered from. Acts 26, 16 and 17. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He's sending him to the people and the Gentiles from whom he delivers him. Looking toward the end of his writings, 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto... He had an inkling here. He knew. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. So this is after he had already written that I forget the wording of it, but you could tell that probably the guard taking him to the executioner was standing beside him, just letting him finish his letter in prison. One of the last, you know, some of the last words written by Paul there. So let's get back to the Acts narrative there in Acts 17, verse 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. That sounds a little surreptitious, doesn't it? To go, as it were, to the sea. Doesn't it? A little covert. In other words, look like you're going down to the docks to sail away, you know, okay? And immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. Now, when we come to the next verse, verse 15, there's also something strange about the way this verse is written. Look at verse 15 in Acts 17. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And, well, the statement ends with a colon. It's as if Paul had said, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and here's how that Athens trip happened. It's as if they report that entire trip will end in Athens, but that they did not leave Berea yet for Athens. That's very similar to what Luke, what he said in describing Paul's trip by boat, ship, whatever, to Jerusalem in Acts 18, verses 18 to 22. Luke said that Paul took his leave of the brethren and sailed into Syria. Well, was Paul then in Syria after that statement? Paul was going to go through Syria to get to Jerusalem, but then in the next verse, after it says he sailed thence into Syria, you see that Paul made stops along the way before he got to Syria, at least in Ephesus, before he was actually in either Syria or Jerusalem. In Acts 17:15, back to our text, Paul was preparing to leave Berea to go to Athens. Berea is north of Athens, along the coast of the Aegean Sea. And since Paul was avoiding those docks and the boats and the people getting after him, you know, trying to kill him, those Jews from Thessalonica, he apparently was going to go to Athens on a land route, being led by they that conducted Paul, as it says. And they that, verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So we would probably reverse the order of the sentence, I don't know. But they departed. After all that description, they just then departed from Berea. Before any of them had actually left Berea, Paul gave the command for they that conducted. For him to give to Timothy before any of them had actually left Berea. All three of Paul, Silas, and Timothy were leaving Berea, and all three were meeting next in Athens. But Paul would take, he would get there first, and the route that Silas and Timothy took would include fulfilling the command in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Also, in Acts 17:15 that we just read. But as we look in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Faith. Okay, remember, Paul left them, had to leave in a hurry after he presented the gospel of God to them, and hadn't presented the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. So it says he sent Timotheus, our brother, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and concern and comfort you concerning your faith. The command was to Silas and Timotheus. In that group, who was in a position to give commands? That would have been Paul, right? Paul. Paul gave the command to those who conducted him for them to give to Silas and Timothy, telling Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. Why? He was in distress, worrying about, not worrying probably, but concerned about those he had preached the gospel of God to and not been able to preach the gospel of Christ to. They were all starting from Berea, and they were all going to Athens, so why wouldn't Silas and Timothy be traveling side by side with Paul on the route from Berea to Athens, on the land route? And why did Paul have to tell them to hurry up, and he would wait for them at Athens? Timothy had been given the responsibility to accomplish before meeting together with Paul at Athens. Timothy had left, he had somewhere else to go before arriving at Athens, so he was delayed, and Paul was telling them, hurry up and meet us there in Athens. So let's preview that charge that Paul gave to Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. When we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother, and the minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and comfort you in concerning your faith. So after giving that command, Paul was led to Athens by they that conducted Paul. They departed. By the way, the Bible says nothing about the doctrine of those who conducted Paul in Acts 17, verse 15. But they had to be trustworthy. They could well have been some of those who were in Christ the vine before Paul was in Christ the body of Christ. And that gives confirming proof to disarm people who claim that God misspoke by calling those in Christ who were in Christ the vine, calling them the same as those who are in Christ being in the body of Christ. They can't claim that because it's not allowed in this text, if you take it literally. They're not the same group. And so God gave the groups different names. Israel and the little flock are never said to be in the body of Christ. Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now we'll go to the time period of Acts 18 when Paul first wrote 1 Thessalonians, when he wrote the first letter to the Thessalonians. And see Paul's comments as he looks back at the situation in Acts 17. By the time Paul had started writing 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, all the way through when he finished the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, he had already learned the things that Paul talks about throughout the epistle. He knew it before he started writing it. The information of what happened and had been reported to him, he wrote about the details as late as, you know, that happened as late as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Especially he knew about the Thessalonians' reception of Timothy's ministering to them the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. By the way, Paul, when he began writing 1 Thessalonians, he knew their response of faith to the salvation gospel that Timothy went back to preach to them. He knew that they had believed. It was after they had begun to believe that gospel that Timothy preached to them that Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. So let's go on. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 18. For this this is in the second chapter. It's after Paul had announced three times that he preached the gospel of God to those at Thessalonica before he got chased out. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, heard of us? Who are the us in that phrase of Paul? Who are the us? That us is not Paul alone, is it? But it is at least Paul and Timothy. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. If you want the word of God to work in you, believe it. There's a great principle to remember, whether you are in this study tonight or the other parts of the study or in some other study. If you are saved and you want to grow and come to the knowledge of the truth, receiving the word of God causes it to work effectually in you that believe, as you believe. And as it was written, you need to believe it as it was written to apply to whom it was written. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brethren, became followers. And when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14 here, he already knew what happened in 1 Thessalonians 3, that they received the gospel of Christ for salvation, with Christ as their only Savior. And you can see a hint of it here. Paul said that you received the word of God, which effectually worketh in you also in you that believe, it says, in you that believe. So he knew that they believed the gospel of salvation. They were believers, but he would not have known that until he got the information he reports in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 7. So going on, in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, don't get thrown here, as some people do. The churches of God were the scattered little flock. Paul is not saying that you became part of the little flock. He's not saying that. Yes, the churches of God were in Jesus Christ, but as we have shown before, they were in Christ, the vine of John 15. Just a moment, please. They were in Christ, the vine, but they were not in Christ, the body of Christ, that Christ only revealed to Paul later. So again, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, we're going to be closing soon here. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things. It doesn't say believe the same things. It says you've suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of theirs, of the Jews, it says. So this is the manner in which they were followers of the churches of God, which are in Christ Jesus. You also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. That's how they were followers. You see, it's two parallel situations there. Paul was saying that the little flock, Jews, in the surrounding area there, in Judea, not around Thessalonica, but around Jerusalem, where the little flock was scattered. The little flock suffered of the disbelieving Jews in Judea. And in the same way, or likewise, in a parallel situation, you believers, talking to those in Thessalonica, you believers suffered like things from your own countrymen, not from the Jews in Jerusalem or Judea, but from the mainly the Jews, also some of the Gentiles there in Thessalonica, which is, you know, over north of Athens, north of Greece, in Macedonia. You suffered like things from your own countrymen, which would have been those disbelieving Jews, and all the city around Thessalonica, according to Acts 17, verse 5. So, don't let that throw you. And we'll get into more next lesson. We'll stop here. Any comments or questions? We're talking about Bereans. Yeah, Bereans, they were Jews. We're not Jews. They studied to see if what Paul had preached to them was in the scriptures and found that it was and believed it because it was the gospel of God, as Paul's manner was, Acts 17:3, to preach the gospel of God first. Okay.